This episode of the Productivityist podcast is brought to you by Text Expander. Text Expander is a tool I have used for years, and I'm so happy to have them on board as a sponsor. I'm going to talk more about them during this episode, but I want to tell you that there's two things that Text Expander gives you right out of the gate: consistency and accuracy. Visit textexpander.com/podcast to learn more, but hold on tight because I've got more to share about Text Expander and how I use them and how I find them to be an indispensable tool. We'll get to that during the show. This episode of the Productivityist podcast is also brought to you by the University of California, Irvine's Division of Continuing Education. If you're trying to start a new career, build a company, or better develop an appreciation of the world around you, UCI Division of Continuing Education has the resources needed to support your undertaking. I'll have more to say about the UCI Division of Continuing Education during the podcast, so stick around. But for now, let's get on with the show. Welcome to the Productivityist podcast. I'm your host, Mike Vardy, and this week on the show, I am joined by Lauren Zander in what amounts to basically a coaching session. It was funny. I recorded this back in late 2018, and it was, you'll hear as the call progresses, it's quite fun. I enjoyed it. And Lauren, just to give you some background on her, she has spent over 20 years coaching thousands of private clients, entrepreneurs, couples, families, professors, and politicians, award winners, Emmy, Peabody Academy, all those awards. And she's the author of Maybe It's You, which we go over. It's kind of a no-nonsense practical manual that helps readers figure out not just what they want out of life, but how to actually get there. And she takes her time to help me through that process a little bit during this conversation. It's a really, really fun one. I hope you enjoy it. Here is my time with Lauren Zander here on the Productivityist podcast. I'd like to welcome Lauren Zander to the Productivityist podcast. Lauren, thanks for joining me today.
I am really excited to be here.
It's today as we're recording this, and I know I keep these as evergreen as possible, but I had a phone call from someone who had been following my work for a while, and I had stopped sending emails. I literally had this episode where I had taken on too much, and I had stopped sending out my usual email newsletters. And the person actually phoned me. I can't remember if he had my phone number or not. He must have. He got it somewhere. And we had this amazing call. It was really good. I mean, the guy is a friend. I've done some coaching with him. He was fantastic. And it was the call I needed because the reason that I hadn't been doing this stuff is because I felt like I was taking on too much and I was getting in my own way. Like even though I'm a productivity strategist, I am human. You know, we fall down from time to time. And why I was so happy that I'm talking to you after this is I told him, I said, oh, I'm talking to Lauren Zander after this. And I go, she wrote a book called Maybe It's You, Cut the Crap, Face Your Fears, Love Your Life. And I'm like, and literally on the call, he says, do you want me to be nice or do you want me to like be upfront? And I'm like, no, please be upfront. He goes, and I don't swear very often. He goes, I call bullshit. Like, cause I told him I was working on a project, which I was. Can you talk about I want to talk about this idea of people getting in their own way. And what was a compelling reason for you to kind of look at that, not just in this book, but what fascinates you about the idea that it's not the circumstances necessarily or the external factors that keep people from really getting to where they want to be, but it's them.
You know, so the more I coach, you know, so now I've been coaching for 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, because I'm getting old, right? And so, which then becomes an asset. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank God, like something good truly comes out of age. And what I have found is that people have PhDs in fear, like can talk up any storm of what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with the government, what's wrong with the news, what's wrong, the PhD in what's wrong. And then now tell me what you're going to do about it and how you're going to fix it and how you're going to help and anything that has to do with making a difference. You know, we can barely write two sentences for ourselves, let alone the world.
Right, right. That's why Twitter is such a place, or Facebook, where it's like, it's like a toxic complaining factory, or it's like a, here's what, like, it's like that bite sized stuff, which there's not a lot of depth there. Right.
Yeah. So because what's really prevalent in the world is everything that's going wrong. It's making sure you're out ahead of yourself and pushing yourself to take risks, right, is really frightening. And we have so much evidence for the world being screwed and mm-hmm. you being screwed. So then my entire career has been pushing people to build something else as possible, to get a PhD in why they can make anything happen. And then throw in keeping promises, like you're going to have to keep a promise, mm-hmm. right? And then you have to know your dreams, right? Is literally all I do for a living. And then the next thing I do is I teach you how your inner dialogue is screwing you.
Right.
Right. See PhD in fear. Listen to what it says. Listen to what it says about everything. And it's always going against dreams.
Right.
Always.
Right. Some of the work you've done over the length of time you're coaching, and by the way, the other thing that shows up with that much experience is wisdom, like knowledge yeah. and experience is the wisdom factor. And I think that one of the things that I found fascinating was not just looking at your book, but also looking at, you know, what you've accomplished over the years is you've worked with some pretty amazing people, many of which you wouldn't think needed to necessarily work with you. Like they seem to yes. have everything together. How do you, when people are looking at it and they go, oh yes. my goodness, like Sean Young and all these other, like,
not her.
Okay.
Sorry. And the nice, I was at Hugh Jackman's 50th birthday party this past weekend and he introduces me around like my coach and they all giggle. Like, what do you need a coach for?
Right.
Exactly. Is that your point you're making?
Yeah, absolutely. Like what? Like you have everything together. Optics, like are everything. You know, I think in a lot of these cases,
yes.
and I think that
yes.
that the way that the world is presented and the way that we can absorb the world is it yes. gives us either the like you were saying earlier, either the worst or the best, but we don't see the middle. We don't see the stuff that kind of that's the everyday. We see kind of like the wow, look at how amazing Hugh Jackman's life is. He must have it all together. And then you see all the people who don't have anything. Like it's really, I think the optics are there. How do you help people when they get in their own way and they're at that level where it just seems like they've got it all together, and yet they there are some things that need some work.
The majority of the like, so first of all, working many of the people. So I work with people who have serious problems,
mm-hmm.
and they may have very successful areas in their life, but other areas of their life, just because you're successful in your career and you've made a boatload of money doesn't mean you're not on your third marriage.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or that you come home every night to 3 to 6 cocktails. Right? Like how happy can you be if you need to get tanked before bed?
This is right? true.
So first of all, Hugh has none of those. His was really like all on the level of contribution in the world, like how much he wanted to impact in a positive way. Everyone has their lid.
Right.
And everyone has their lid. And every individual is relative. It's like a relative thing. So what he needs help with is the same thing you need help with, is the same thing I need help with. But, you know, the game I'm playing is much smaller than his,
mm-hmm.
but it's just as big to me. So, you know, it's that curve.
Right.
Right. And so I have never met a human ever, no matter how successful they are, that didn't have areas where their inner dialogue was fear-based, short-sighted, and hurtful. Ever. Like I've never met one. Okay. And then how one compensates for that inner dialogue or what they fear, and then they perpetuate it's coming to it. You know, they keep on thinking it's going to happen. They manifest what they think is going to happen. And so breaking into your own inner dialogue and starting to hear how you talk to yourself, you know, that's a two-person game.
Right.
Right. And unless you've actually trailed your inner dialogue in an area where you're sad or disappointed or don't think it all can turn out, you really don't know what you're letting yourself get away with saying to yourself. And because that's your own little voice in your head, you think it's a guru. You mm-hmm. think it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, if you had a twitch in your eye, you wouldn't think you shouldn't go to the doctor. It's a twitch, right? Like, oh, what's wrong with my eye? Right. Well, no one has how to, you know, obviously there's psychologists and psychiatrists and people take medication because their mind isn't helping them and they are depressed. But what about people who are just needing three cocktails or don't think they could get ahead in their career? Like, it's still located in your inner dialogue. And so my whole method is about breaking into that mainframe and really start gaming the system.
One of the things that you've touched on with your method is you have to go back, right? Like, you have to go back and,
yes.
and that a lot of people, especially when it comes to productivity and time, they're so focused on the going forward and
yes.
not reflection or introspection, but just progress. And they
yes.
figure progress is always about the doing of what's next, not on reflecting what's happened or what led
yes.
to them being there. How do you kind of help people kind of go, hold on a second. Yes, this is great that you want to move forward,
yes.
but we need to start back there so that you don't move forward in a direction that you don't want to wind up going in.
Okay. So what you're talking about, productivity, is what I call physical integrity. Physical integrity is always a must, mm-hmm. right? But there's also emotional and spiritual integrity, how you're feeling and what you're saying to yourself. And if what you're feeling and what you're saying to yourself are still like you wouldn't tell anybody and you feel like shit,
mm-hmm.
right? No matter that you're going on a run, right? Or you're doing your work, but you're internally hating your boss, right? It doesn't work out. That all three have to be working at the same time beautifully together.
Right.
So spiritual is what you say to yourself, your inner dialogue, like literally. Emotional is how that what it says to you makes you feel. And physical integrity is literally what you're doing. And so productivity, you could go as literally what you're doing, and you have to have great productivity. The answer is duh. Yes, that's awesome. But how you feel and what you're thinking, what about that?
Right. Right. Because if you're feeling or thinking the wrong things or they're not in alignment, then you're going to be doing the wrong things.
One would go, you can even be doing the right things,
mm-hmm.
but it won't get you the love of your life and you don't
right.
know why.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah. you're dating the same very pretty, you know, very handsome, very rich, but he's a jerk.
Right.
But she's, you know, she's not what you're really looking for. Right. No matter how many times you are doing all the right work. When you're doing all the right work in the physical reality, in physical integrity, but it isn't changing the reality, then you can bet you have a haunting memory. You have something, you know, that has what I'll call it. It's a cavity, right? We got to go drilling in the deeper places.
No one likes that.
I would love to skip it too. I agree.
But it's necessary. It's necessary.
It's ridiculous how much it's, you know, one painful tooth ruins your entire, like one bad tooth can ruin how you feel all day, every other thing, like it takes over, right? And so one thing you haven't figured out really just ruins it can ruin everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I only go into hauntings, they're called haunting memories, because there's so much knowledge to be had when you figure out an area you're not successful in or you want to be more successful in and you're doing all the right work, there's got to be a haunting. And is it likely if you're not doing the right work that there's definitely a haunting? Yes, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yes, I'm sorry, you're going to have to go digging for cavities.
It's time to take a break from the proceedings to talk about a sponsor for this episode, Text Expander. Now, I love Text Expander. It's been a part of my productivity platforms, my paths for years now. I've just loved the fact you can just copy and paste these snippets in a way that you can't do it in any other way because you're not actually copying and pasting them. You are literally entering a few quick keystrokes, and it's just so much more efficient than just copying and pasting and using boilerplates of that way. Why not just have these couple quick keystrokes? Like, for example, when I'm typing in the podcast, I just type in capital P, capital D, semicolon P, and the Productivityist podcast comes up. Imagine spelling Productivityist all the time. Even me,
I have to make sure that I have Text Expander at the helm to let me do that. You know, all your snippets are everywhere because what it does is it updates new and edited snippets between your Mac, iPhone, iPad, and Windows PC instantly. So Text Expander does all of that, and it works in all of your apps, so you can use it everywhere. I travel a lot, and I use my iPad Pro wherever I go. I can use Text Expander on my iPad Pro. I've got the keyboard that you can enable with it. You know, there's free snippet groups for like job recruiters and freelancers. There's airport codes. There's all this stuff already built in, so you can just add those suggested snippets, those snippet groups, and then that way you can have them at your fingertips without having to program them into Text Expander. And there are suggested snippets because what it does is it tracks what you type, and then you can say, "Hey, I spell the wrong all the time, so it's a can you please spell it correctly for me?" Or if there's an address that you're typing all the time, like I spell my address, and if it notices, "Hey, you're typing in your address all the time. How about you create a snippet for it?" What Text Expander does is it allows you to stay consistent and stay accurate. You can hear how hyped I am about having them as a sponsor. Number one, I'm speaking so frenetically. And two, I used the word hyped. You do not have to work alone with Text Expander either. I've managed to get my team on board because we can share it using Text Expander for Teams. It lets me manage and share snippets with my entire team. You can do that with your coworkers and your companies as well. So I really want to thank Text Expander for supporting the show, and I want to thank them for offering 20% off your first year to Productivityist podcast listeners. Just go to textexpander.com/podcast to make that happen. I'm stoked to have Text Expander as a sponsor, and I swear that if you implement it, and now that, you know, when I first started using it, it was only available for Apple products. Now it's available across the board. I highly encourage you to give Text Expander a try. With that 20% off your first year, it's a no-brainer. TextExpander.com/podcast. I'd like to thank Text Expander for sponsoring this episode of the Productivityist Podcast. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, so back to what I started with at the very beginning, because this is interesting to me, especially considering the conversation I had with this gentleman this literally about an hour before we hopped on the call. is this idea that I have a framework that I put in place, and I know it works because I work with clients when it comes to the time management piece. But
I love it.
But there is always this propensity to, you know, to try to reach as many people as possible and try to have as much impact. Like you talked about Hugh Jackman. And one of the things I remember about reading about him is he's got this coffee company, like this coffee initiative, right? Which I can't remember the name right now, but I linked it in the show notes. And that was one of the things I'm like, oh, that's really cool that he's doing that.
He's awesome.
Yeah. So when I was thinking about what this gentleman had said to me, he said, it seems like you've got, and he called me out on it, he goes, you've got too many things going on. And because you've got too many things going on, you've just stopped. And you're doing like the little bite-sized things, like the social media things and YouTube and all that stuff. And you're doing stuff in the physical world. I just did a keynote today for crying out loud, but which is work, which is me, but it's the I haven't sent an email in months. And the best part is that it's not like I haven't had anything to say, but because it was 1 week I didn't send it, and then another week, and then another week, it's compounding. Do you find that with people that that when you're digging into this and you see that there's been a compound effect, is that those elements of like where does that come from for a lot of people, or can it come from various sources?
Okay, so one of the things that I deeply teach people is I want, especially someone like you who's out to make a big difference, you need to go to your death, right? You don't, when you're figuring out what to do next, you could be seemingly climbing up a ladder. Oh, I got here. What should I do next? Right? Like, so it's like this upward to the end, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. I don't teach that way. Mm-hmm. I go to the end and then figure out where you are. Okay, so I want to reach 1 million people. I want 12 books. Like, I need to know, how will you fulfill on your life? What are the macro results that will fulfill on your life for you? Okay? Mm-hmm. And I really need the list. And then I would go, okay, where are you at? And then you can pick the very specific things that you believe will fulfill on the macro results, Okay. So mm-hmm. you do it backwards to where you are today. So, and then you figure out where you are on the ladder. So then now watch this. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you have a big enough dream and you pick what the five things that are the most important things for you to accomplish, but you believe in the whole, like you believe in the whole, mm-hmm. right? There's magic that will happen. So other things happen while you're doing the five things. Right. So I use productivity a very different way.
Right.
Right. And because, not because it's the right answer, it's because you decided it was the right answer. And because you think that's the right answer, that's why it's the right answer.
It's very personal. It's very subjective.
It's literally, you know, one of the things I teach is this concept that people get wrong, right? So I go, oh, this is a very good way to think about whether you're in the right stance about being, which is, are you saying, am I? With a question mark. Am I doing the right thing today? Am I? And then you do whatever you do that day. And you're like, ooh, I think that was right. Right? So you're in the am I's, questioning and then doing. And then every day you wake up again in am I? Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't do that. That sucks. Right? The better way to be is I am. I am, like you already called all the shots. And because you go, I am, and this is what I do today. That's a very different stance. And it's a nuance of like, are you in the question or are you in the stance?
Right.
And the stance comes from a much bigger plan and then calling where you are today. So if you go, Lauren, do you know what you're accomplishing this year? I'm like, yeah. Are you succeeding or failing today? I know. That doesn't mean I don't fail. Right. But you're like, how many podcasts do you do a month? I do 5 a month. Right. Because I am blown away by people doing podcasts and caring about humanity. I want to meet you and I want to be connected to anyone who wants me, I want to be with. Right. And right. So I think we're a network changing the world. So we're reaching millions of people. So all I have to do is be on 5 podcasts a month to be fulfilling on my life's whole mission. But I already called my shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that man who talked to you today is like, you were doing something that was working in my life. I love what you have to say. I want my emails, right? And then you have to look in your much bigger plan. Do you owe that? Is this part of your big dream? If that's small to you, then I'm sorry, sir. I'm not going to be doing that. But you better know your whole big plan. And you can always pivot and change your plan if you think it's not working, like I have done many times. But when I throw out a plan, I throw it out because it failed. And then I'm like, I have a really good cry, honestly. And then I go, okay, what did we learn? What's the new plan? Just as long as I had it before. And then now where am I at for this year? Did that make sense?
No, that totally made sense. And actually, as you were talking about the am I versus I am, the one of the things, and again, I always tend to bring this back to the lens of time and productivity.
Yes.
Is when people open up their email and they answer what emails have come to them first. Like, so they're responding to what's there in their inbox instead of going in with, I will send these emails to people that I need to send them to. Rather than do that, they go in going, I wonder what emails have come to me today. So you're right. It's a very different stance. If you go into email with a mission rather than a question, then you're going to get more out of it than if you, and you're going to be more quote productive. And we'll use that term. Then you would, if you're going in asking questions, because that there's no certainty behind that. As soon as you mentioned that, and funnily enough, you also mentioned, like, if I want to reach 1 million people, I was on a podcast not too long ago where he said, what's your ultimate goal? I'm like, I want 1 million people time crafting in some way, shape or form. And that's where I want to be. So it makes it so much more reasonable.
it's
for me to say, okay, well, if that's what I want So when it comes to those emails, a good example would be like I was trying to send 4 or 5 over the course of it, and I had several different portals. He just wants an email a week. He actually told me, he goes, I just want 1 email a week. can you do that? And it was very clear. I'm like, I can, that's what I should be doing. That's what I want to be doing. And so, yes, I will send an email a week. And the great thing is that now here's the fear. And this is what I think. And I want to, and I'd love to see, hear what happens when people push on this is I have the call. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this, but it's been so long. Where do I start? How do I say it? What do I do? All of a sudden, all those questions come back into play, right? So what do you do then, right? Like, because that's okay, me getting in my own way again, right?
Again, no. You're reinventing the wheel.
Right, okay.
Okay, everything in life, you and I get like productivity and physical integrity is like every time there's a stop sign, you stop at the stop sign, right? And then you keep the stop sign there and you don't ever have to wonder how that's going to work over there. So when you go, there's an email that I want to send out once a week. There's a structure of how you write your emails, right? Like it's right. Great. And then you answer whatever question, like, you know, so then you make it as simple as possible. So then you go the month of, what month are we in? We're in, are we still in October? Okay. We're in October. October is, you know, diet month because Halloween is coming.
Right.
Right. Or like, so you pick whatever subject or whatever you're working. So you make it as simple as possible and then as deep as possible. And then you only give yourself an hour to bang it out. Mm-hmm. Right. You literally take away the mystery and you stop letting your mind be allowed to get into its fear.
Right.
Right. And then what the other thing I do, right, which really kicks a human's butt, is I put in a consequence, right? If I don't send out the email today, right, I don't get a glass of wine tonight with my wife, right? Like if you take away whatever vice you're into, you like your chocolate, you like your whatever you're into, it will not hurt you if you ding yourself, but you ding yourself until you send that email out. Or for me, all I have to do, if there's a promise I want to keep, right, and I'm scared I'm not going to keep it, or I know it's like annoying and big, I just have to tell my kid, hey, Parker, if I don't keep my promise for exercising today or meditating today, you get $20. Do you understand that kid's going to follow up with me?
Oh, yeah. I have two kids. I know that they would definitely want that $20.
Okay, great. All you have to do, there's nothing better than teaching your kid you keep promises that are hard for you. There's just nothing better to teach them. Mm-hmm. So you, or tell your wife, tell anybody. Don't let me go to sleep until I send out that email, right? If you, then you will get more and more efficient at doing it if, because you know what I mean? You don't get the screen. It's simple.
Yeah. And the irony is that I have frameworks in place for like this day's theme is this. And yet, and no, so that's the irony about it is that my brain goes like what you're saying, again, it's that reflection of like, Mike, you do this all, like you have frameworks in place, apply it to this other thing. But we, you know, but you get like it's, and you're right. It's that fear. No matter how good this Green Lantern ring is that I wear, because Green Lantern's enemy, his will is the enemy of fear. And I have Green Lantern stuff all over my office, although I'm not in my office today. I'm in a hotel. So this is the only thing I've got is this ring. It's true. I think that it, and it keeps us from change, and it keeps us from making promises, I think, too, right? Like you in your book, you talk about promises and keeping them and having like a strategy for them. You just touched on that a bit. And some of the promises and the consequences that you mentioned in your book are rather interesting. And I'll leave it at that because I want people to pick up the book. but so what happens? First off, how do you know? Two more questions as we get close to wrapping up. The first one is, how do you keep yourself from making too many promises at once? Because people want to do it all quickly, right? I know you said, you know, like start from where you are and then look at the end and get in the middle is what you were looking at. How do you keep people, because we want to do it now. We live in this world of like, I want it now. How do you keep people from overdoing it right out of the gate?
The main places I want promises are the places where you don't want to make them.
Okay.
But you want the result. Like you desperately want to fit in those jeans. You desperately want another baby. Like you want more money. Like it's something you desperately want, but you haven't been doing the work because it's really a place of fear. So once you locate that one area, I have people not take on 20 areas at a time, but take on one at a time that really will blow them away. Right? Like if that started happening, I'd be so proud of myself. I'd be moved to tears. So you take on something, you get yourself a buddy. You do not make promises alone. And you literally make a measurable promise and you put in a consequence that actually isn't a punishment, but would annoy the living poop out of you.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mine are very simple. I really like my screen time at night. It's not even tricky. Okay. I'm right. People like their wine. I have gotten scripts written for Hollywood that have made it all the way and are on Netflix now because I made the person not have their wine at night unless they wrote for 2 hours.
So I can't have my beer tonight until that email sent. That craft
That's
beer.
Literally, it's literally like you have no idea the joke that you're making your dark side, your mm-hmm. vice.
Oh, no. Work, yep.
Work for the good guys.
Yeah.
Your dreams. And if you switch that, you'd be amazed how it works.
All right, we're going to take a break from the proceedings once again to talk about another sponsor of the show, UCI Division of Continuing Education. That's the University of California, Irvine's Continuing Education Division. Now, it was established in 1962, and the UCI Division of Continuing Education has been offering education for adult learners in Orange County for over half a century. But you don't just have to live in Orange County to take part in any of the certificate programs or specialized study programs that UCI Division of Continuing Education offers. They maintain over 30,000 enrollments from students worldwide each year and offer hundreds of exciting courses and programs to local, regional, and global constituencies. They offer programs in a wide range of categories as well, from business to IT, healthcare, finance, and law. And courses are taught by expert instructors with industry experience, both online courses and offline courses, so courses in real world experiences. But the online courses offer flexibility and a real immersive classroom experience as well. So if you're trying to start a new career or build a company or even better develop an appreciation of the world around you, UCI Division of Continuing Education has the resources needed to support your undertakings. So I encourage you to check out what UCI Division of Continuing Education has to offer. Spring quarter is coming up and registration's open. So you'll want to visit ce.uci.edu/podcast to learn more. That's ce.uci.edu/podcast to start learning more about what UCI Division of Continuing Education can offer you today. I'd like to thank UCI Division of Continuing Education for sponsoring this episode of the Productivities Podcast. Now, let's get back to the show.
So last question, and this is going back for you, is when you were developing the handle method and doing and building this, how long, like, how did that process, you knew where you wanted to be, like, was it something that you, obviously there's fear, you're putting yourself out there a lot, and as you move, the more you do that, it's like there's this other layer that shows up, and because fear wants to keep showing up. Stephen Pressfield talks about it as the resistance. There's all, like, it tries to find a new way in every single time.
Uh-huh.
How did you fight back against fear when maybe it's the principles you've just talked about, but I'd love to hear when you were developing this back right back at the beginning.
Yeah.
How did that take shape? How did you battle and challenge fear along the way?
I really kept my promises. Right. So if someone once asked me, so I'm helping a man figure out how to build a weight loss, like he's a coach and he wants to build a digital program and he wants to help men lose weight, right? Because mm-hmm. he lost 100 pounds and he's a very successful guy with 100 pounds, but he was miserable and then lost his 100 pounds and then really wants to build that business. And I was like, you're going to hate me because it's really quite simple, right? You're going to speak to 3 people a day about the work you're doing. Like, I just started, like, I literally made a promise that I could keep. And if I didn't speak to 3 people a day, right, it's so goofy, I didn't get my tasty delight at night, my dessert. Yep. Right. Like, and I used to live in Manhattan, and people who understand me understand I cared about my tasty delight every night. And so I had to go to networking events. Like, I was out and about. And you go, how long did it take you to build your first 40 clients? 6 months, 3 people a day. And you go, you mean like it works that easy, right? I'm sorry, guys. You have no idea how much easier it is to actually keep a promise for the good of something that is scary and risky. And that, you know, it, as a hokey way to talk about it, light wants to help you. The world wants to help you be successful. It's not out to get you. It's just no one's taking like the risky out there actions. And then I had much bigger dreams, right? So after you earn those dreams, right, then you have to come up with the next set. And then I figured out after I got good at all of that, I then went, well, this is boring, right? I'm going to live and die and have done 649 people. I'll have made a good living, but like, who cares? And then I came up with a dream that lasts, that I'm still in today, which is change education. Mm-hmm. And like break into making real life taught in education, like teach people real life. And then break into the world and like eradicate lying, like go after the world of lying. People lie and they don't know how sick it's making my entire planet. Right. And get to the right people in the world who have a shit ton of money, who can change the powership, like the power and leadership in the world. That's my vision. I had it 15 years ago. After I did the original work on myself of the 3 people a day.
Wow. That's when, as people are listening to this right now, sorry, it just, it just goes to show that, you know, if you literally put something in place and you put your mind to it and the promises, like that's such a key thing. And it's such a simple thing to adhere to, because we hear the word promise all the time. I promise I'll do this. I promise. But some of those are shallow. Some of those, and they're to other people, making promises to yourself about how you're going to.
In any area you're successful in, mm-hmm. like if your marriage is great, it's because you keep promises, whether they're clear or unclear, like, right? Said or unsaid, you're reliable. You, honey, I'll be home at 7. You pull in at 7. If you're going to be late, you're like, oh my God, honey, I'm so sorry. It's 4:40, I think I'm going to be late, right? Like, that's not an area you need advice. But when it comes to building wealth, right, or doing something that's really out of your comfort zone, you're going to need real promises because it scares the living bejesus out of you. In which case, you don't need 30 promises, you need 2.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's actually, people make it so complicated, but it's a lot easier.
So all of you listening to this right now, I'm talking to you, all of you that are listening to this right now, go back and listen to this again, because this was phenomenal. Lauren, thanks so much for taking the time to join me today. Aww. Where can people pick up your book as well as learn more about you and the work that you're doing?
Okay. So I am at the Handel Group is the name of my company, Handel Group. And we have private coaching, cheap coaching. We have everything, right? We've been doing this for 20 years. And the book's name is Maybe It's You. Maybe It's You, Lauren Zander.
Thanks so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate it. And now I got to look at that, my email thing. I got to spend some time on that.
You need a few promises, making sure they're totally connected to reaching your million people.
Thanks again, Lauren.
Absolutely.
I'd like to thank Lauren for joining me on the show today and helping me out, helping me through some stuff. It was great. Emails got sent, right off the top. I mentioned that somebody would, Ellis had said, hey, you haven't sent an email. What's going on? I'm back at it and feel great. And I think this conversation, going back and listening to it again, especially, had a lot to do with it. So big thanks to Lauren for helping me out. And Lauren's got a special offer for podcast listeners. It's a limited time offer, but she's got a new online coaching course. It's called Inner.You. So if you use this promo code Productivityist100, you'll get $100 off the program, but you have to sign up before March 20th. to get these other free gifts that are included. So that's the limited part. You get 3 coaching cheat sheets, you get 3 coaching videos, and exclusive access to a live group coaching call with Lauren Zander on launch day. So if you want to get started with that, the link's in the show notes, but I'll tell you, you got to go to inneru.coach/earlybird. That's inner you, like the letter U, .coach/earlybird. So there you go. And of course, all the other things that we talked about are in the show notes. Big thanks to Lauren for joining me on the show today. Big thanks to our sponsors as well, Text Expander. If you want to get more consistent and more accurate and then stay that way, stay consistent, you want to stay accurate with Text Expander, there's a way for you to do that. Visit textexpander.com/podcast to get 20% off your first year. The link to that's in the show notes as well. So if you want to make sure you take care of that and advantage of that offer, please do so. And I'd also like to thank the UCI Division of Continuing Education for sponsoring the podcast as well. Again, visit ce.uci.edu/podcast and enter promo code podcast for 15% off of one of their selected courses. It's almost all of the certificate programs. The discount, of course, applies to just almost all of them. So go to ce.uci.edu/podcast and enter the promo code podcast to get that 15% off of the one course. And remember, that offer is valid only until March 31st at 11:59 p.m. So lots to think about, lots of action to take following this episode, but you can also subscribe to the podcast. That way you don't miss a single episode. You can leave a rating or review. There's so many things you can do, but the biggest things that I want you to do is have a great rest of the week. I'm really feeling thankful today. Thanking all those people. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank my producer, John Polster. I want to thank Naya for putting the show notes together. I want to thank so many people. And I'm going to go do that now. I'm going to wrap up things and go and be more grateful. And that's about it. Such a great episode. And I hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, I am Mike Vardy, the host of the Productivityist podcast, reminding you to stop guessing and start going. I will see you later.